Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things that we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised. Please take care of yourself.
Let's get into the story of Reginald Kimbrough and his early life.
Okay.
Well, goose eggs. We couldn't find anything about Kimbrough's early life, including his birth date, but sort of based on his age noted in various years and articles and stuff like that. He must have been born around 1993.
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. And it's been reported that in 1994... So when he was a baby, his father, Eugene Reginald Kimbrough, and that's K-E-M-B-R-O, and I don't know why their names are spelled differently, but they are.
Okay.
He was convicted of voluntary manslaughter in Dallas County. He was originally charged with murder. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. We could not find any details about what happened.
So the last name spelling thing,
yeah,
I am just speculating here.
Okay.
But even my own father's name is spelled wrong on his birth certificate. He was a black man born in the 50s.
Yeah.
Beyonce's part of her story is that one of her relatives' names was misspelled in the 40s or 50s on a birth certificate. And the powers that be would not let them change it.
Yeah.
And so that maybe that's why.
Could be.
But anyway, Kimbrough's father also has convictions in Dallas County for burglary, DWI. Drug possession, and being a felon unlawfully possessing a gun. So we know that, at least on his father's side, and it would appear that he did not have the best paternal role model.
Right, right. Kimbrough lived in Plano, Texas, and after he graduated from high school, he joined the Navy. So there you go on your serial killer bingo.
Yep, it's there it is.
The military.
There it is, folks.
Then when he was discharged, he ended up in Arkansas.
On his Facebook page, Kimbrough claimed to be a marketing student at the University of Arkansas beginning in 2015. The university, however, said it didn't have any record of him being a student there.
He has been described as popular, gregarious, and charming. One girlfriend described him as, quote unquote, the life of the party. And I don't think he had any problems finding girlfriends.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
So let's get into the timeline. In 2012, Melissa Winton was 18 years old and had just started her senior year of high school. On Friday night, she and a friend went to the mall and walked into a surf shop where Kimbrough was working. He was 19 at the time, and Melissa and Kimbrough flirted a little bit and ended up exchanging telephone numbers.
That night, Kimbrough texted Melissa and invited her to his house. He told her to come in through his bedroom window because his parents were asleep. Remember those days?
Oh my gosh. Remember the days where you were like a teenager, miles away from your home and safety and your parents? I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
But we all do stuff when we're teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're young and, you know, free and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just something that young people do.
Yep. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Melissa went to his house and they talked. And then when Kimbrough made a few moves, she said no.
And that is when he told her that he could get oral sex for $200. Just like what? Out of nowhere. Completely
out of nowhere.
Unsolicited. I'm pretty sure Melissa didn't even ask.
Yeah.
And so Melissa was caught very off guard and immediately wanted to leave. Kimbrough walked her to her car, acting, you know, apologetic. Oh, I'm so sorry. And then Melissa went to give him a hug. And the next thing she knew, she was on the ground.
Yikes. So her pants were pulled down and Kimbrough was on top of her with his hands around her throat. Mm. She became lightheaded as Kimbrough violently raped her. He would tell her to shut up and he put his hand over her face to muffle her. He told her, quote, you're lucky to still be here, unquote.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
So Melissa remembered thinking, quote, I'm never going to see my family again. I'm never going to see sunlight. Like, this is it, unquote. Kimbrough forced her back into her car and they drove for hours. Finally, he got out of the car and she went home and ran straight to her parents' room to tell them that she had been raped. Oh, what an, I mean, the
nightmare.
A parent's worst nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if he was contemplating killing her at that time.
Ooh.
Driving around.
I wonder now too. Hey, Beth.
Yeah.
What's something besides true crime that you and I both love?
Movies?
Yes, 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 yes.
Bing, bing, bing. I win.
Did you catch my Jeff Goldblum impression?
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. And Beth and I have seen many together. Oh, yes. And my favorite part about going to a movie is the magic of it all. The popcorn, the snacks, the drinks, the comfy seats, and just taking it in and getting lost in the screen and the sound. Beth, what made you fall in love with movies?
I just love getting lost in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can try to capture that at home, but you can't. You can't.
Not exactly the same.
No. There's always something that interrupts the flow. You got to pause. You got to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to the movies so much that I go back to see the same ones in theaters, sometimes more than once.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. And in fact, I just saw Dune 2 again with my grown kids for my birthday.
Again?
Yeah.
But also, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's right. We at Fruit Loops, we don't play about our movies. Beth
not
doesn't play. I don't play. So if you don't play about your movie going experience and like going to the theater, then Regal Unlimited just makes sense.
Yeah. Regal Unlimited is an all you can watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits.
Pays for itself? But who? How?
So you can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. And then if you want to see a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, wow. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets. You will also save on the most important part, folks, snacks.
Woo.
The snacks. That's right. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items.
You can't see a movie without popcorn. You just
absolutely
can't.
Not.
No.
Nope. 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 Mm-mm.
So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on Reg Movies. That's R-E-G FloopsRegMovies.com/unlimited. Use promo code FloopsReg, that's FLOOPSREG, to let them know that Beth and Wendy sent you.
Again, go to the Regal app or on RegMovies.com/unlimited and use promo code FloopsReg.
Yeah, let them know we sent you, and thanks Regal Cinemas for sponsoring the show. So Melissa's parents took her to the ER, where a nurse did a rape kit, and then they went to the police. Melissa told her story multiple times to Detective John Hoffman, but quickly realized that he didn't believe her. At one point, he even asked if she kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was a Dateline episode.
Yeah.
And I saw the interview and was like horrified.
Yeah.
Mouth agape, like, what?
Yeah.
So police then spoke with Kimbrough. And he claimed that the sex with Melissa was consensual, that Melissa was just angry that she couldn't spend the night at his house. Kimbrough consented to a polygraph, which he passed, and Detective Hoffman decided that there was no case.
Plano police later said that they didn't file any charges against Kimbrough at the time because Melissa said she didn't want to pursue a case. But according to Melissa, she was not believed, and so she just kind of gave up.
Yeah, and you can't blame her for doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've said this before, but some SA advocates call the police interview like the second attack or an additional attack.
Yeah.
After the initial one, because of what they put you through and just how poor they can victims feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. In January 2014, a woman in Allen, Texas, survived a similar rape, strangulation, and attempted murder. The night of the attack, the victim and Kimbrough were attending a party at a home in Allen. They had not previously met.
A friend later found her covered in leaves and debris outside a wrought iron fence obscured by a line of hedges. She had been sexually assaulted. She also had strangulation marks around her neck, a busted blood vessel in her left eye, a head wound, a cut lip, and chest abrasions. So she was really fucked up, and I think Kimbrough may have thought she was dead.
Oh, yeah, these injuries seem to indicate a violent attack.
Yes.
The detective in the Allen case, Kevin Miller, also did not believe the victim. More of this, and we're in year 2014. So she later said, quote, "He tried to intimidate me in hopes that my story was false and that I would be scared enough to admit that. He told me that 30% of the girls that sit across from me in this room are lying," unquote.
Oh, my God.
This detective should not be detectiving these kinds of crimes.
No.
So a rape victim filed a complaint against him in March of 2017. And we don't know if it's the same woman. And the complaint is against the detective. Is that right?
Yes. Against the detective. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this guy sounds awful.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
awful.
Yeah. And the shitty thing about this case and many like it that we cover is this happens.
Yeah.
More than we like.
And this
see.
Is what, 10 years ago, you know,
yeah.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
horrible.
We knew better then. I believe that we knew better then.
Oh, we did. Yeah. When police questioned Kimbrough, he denied having anything to do with the attack, according to police documents. He said his DNA would not be found on the victim, and provided a DNA sample to investigators. It took years for the DNA results to come back. Years.
Years? In 2014? Come on. Jurassic Park had been out for 20 years by then. What?
So in the meantime, Kimbrough was free to do whatever he wanted.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in March of 2014, a young woman named Katie Coates, who had just turned 20 years old, went to spring break at South Padre Island. It's a barrier island on the Texas Gulf Coast known for its nice beaches, white sand, clear water, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And normally peaceful, quiet. And for 3 weeks in March, thousands of college kids swarmed the island during spring break.
Katie met Kimbrough at South Padre Island during that 2014 spring break. She said he was very popular and seemed like a nice guy. And one night, she and some friends went out to a club, and afterwards they all went down to a hot tub. And Kimbrough was there.
At some point, she was ready to leave, and Kimbrough offered to walk Katie back to her room. On the way, they kissed, but she needed to use the restroom, so Kimbrough walked her to the hotel ladies' room.
When Katie went into the restroom and turned around to shut the stall door, she saw Kimbrough coming towards her. She did not invite him in.
Mm-hmm.
And when Katie looked into his eyes, she panicked. She knew by his look, when she saw him coming into the stall, that she was in trouble. And can you imagine, like, you're expecting this guy to protect you.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who attacks you.
Yeah. Or at least you don't expect an attack, right?
Yeah.
You're having fun. You're doing young people things. You're enjoying spring break. Like, this should be a fun time. And there's nothing to indicate to most of us in this kind of environment that something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just feel for her and all of the victims in this case. So he shut the door and he locked it, then started to strangle Katie. Katie was terrified, so she just did whatever he wanted her to do. Kimbrough raped her. Katie says all that she could do was try to survive.
After about 15 minutes, Katie got away and ran out. Kimbrough just strolled out. About 30 seconds later, Katie found a hotel worker who walked her to her room. One of her friends was there and asked what was wrong. Another one noticed bruises on her neck.
Her friends insisted that Katie should go to the hospital, and she didn't want to, but she summoned the willpower and the courage to report her rape. At the hospital, a nurse and a sexual assault exam backed up her story.
Soon she was answering detectives' questions at the South Padre Island Police Department, and Kimbrough was arrested. The story he told was the same as what he told police about Melissa's rape. He said it was just consensual sex.
But in this case, police didn't believe his story and found Katie credible. However, the district attorney apparently did not. Later, a prosecutor said that this case was dropped in October 2014 because officials were waiting for DNA results.
Which didn't come for years.
Yeah.
Awful.
I don't understand why they take so long.
Yeah. Well, there was a backlog at that time. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And Olivia from SVU.
Yep.
She must have donated a bunch of money or raised a bunch of funds to try to help with this backlog.
Mariska
Hargitay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Olivia Benson.
You know,
okay.
You guys know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Molly Matheson graduated from Fort Worth's Timber Creek High School in 2012. She attended the University of Arkansas studying to be a social worker and hoped one day to work with troubled youth. And as an aside, the University of Arkansas is in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and is around a 5-hour drive from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which I didn't know. I didn't know that it was so close.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a family member who lives in Fayetteville. I have family in Fayetteville.
Oh.
And they told me that a lot of Texans attend the University of Arkansas because they have an agreement with Texas.
Yeah.
And Texans can pay in-state tuition to go there.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that Arkansas corner, Beth.
There you go. Arkansas corner.
So Molly has been described as hilarious, quirky, silly, devoted, kind, accepting, compassionate, and authentic. Molly met Kimbrough through Tinder, the app for
dating
and dating, when she was attending the University of Arkansas. They dated for a while, but broke up. After their breakup, Kimbrough started dating Molly's former college roommate, Megan Lewis.
In the spring 2015 semester, Molly was feeling overwhelmed, and she withdrew from school to take a break. She moved into a garage apartment near Texas Christian University, and she started taking classes at Tarrant County College.
On April 9th, 2017, Molly initiated a text conversation with Kimbrough, and he came over to her apartment. That day, Megan Lewis spoke with Kimbrough on the phone. They had broken up, but were still friends. Kimbrough told Megan that he was at his sister's house working on her car, and he said he was going to have to let her go because he had to run to a friend's house.
On April 10th, 2017, Molly's mother, Tracy, went looking for her after she didn't show up for work. Tracy found her daughter's body in the bathroom of her apartment. There was no sign of forced entry.
I feel for that mother finding her,
her
child.
Oh, awful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I found my mom when she died.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And I mean, that was bad, but I can't imagine finding a child. I don't even want to talk about it. Knock on wood.
Okay. Okay. Molly had been sexually assaulted and strangled. Investigators found a bed sheet and clothing in the washing machine, including a pair of men's underwear. Police believed that the killer tried to cover his tracks by getting rid of the evidence in the washing machine.
But he forgot his underwear.
Whoopsies!
Looking in Molly's phone, they saw that she had been texting someone, but they didn't know who. Molly had known Kimbrough for a long time, and yet his number wasn't in her phone under his name. It was just a random number.
Oh.
Police later surmised that they must have had some sort of falling out at some point, and she deleted him from her contacts.
Okay. The following day, on April 11th, Megan Lewis called Kimbrough to tell him that Molly was dead. Kimbrough acted surprised, saying that he had just seen her. She urged him to go to the police as they would find evidence of him being at the apartment.
On April 14th, 2017, police questioned Kimbrough. He denied having anything to do with Molly's murder. He confirmed that he had met Molly when they were both living in Arkansas, that they had been in a dating relationship at that time, but she eventually moved back home to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They had lost touch since around 2015, but they had recently reconnected again.
Kimbrough told police that on the night of the murder, Molly texted him and invited him over to hang out, so he came over at about 10:30. He said they smoked some weed, watched Netflix, and chatted. He claimed that they started making out, but she shut him down, saying that she didn't feel right about it, and he left before 1:30 in the morning.
But police had already checked security cameras in the area, and they knew that he left at 2 a.m. Police began to ask Kimbrough specific questions about the time frame he was with Molly. Kimbrough became upset and said that he wanted to end the interview.
Police took his cell phone and a DNA sample, but they didn't have enough to hold him, so he left. According to police, he left angry.
Police ran a criminal history on Kimbrough and learned that he had been arrested for a sexual assault in Plano in 2012 and in South Padre Island in 2014. Fort Worth police called Plano police and asked if they would hold him on the Melissa Winton case. And they said no.
Okay, another failure.
Yeah.
By those police departments.
Yep.
So there were two other men that Molly knew, a current boyfriend and a man who seemed to be pursuing her. But police were able to clear them both, and they focused on Kimbrough.
Police were able to get an electricity usage report for Molly's house for April 9th and 10th when they believed she was murdered. It revealed that from midnight to about 1:30 a.m., electricity usage was pretty normal. But at 1:45 a.m., it took a big jump.
I love this kind
this
of
part.
Investigative,
yeah.
Like real investigating, you know,
yeah.
I just love looking at these little details.
Yeah. Fitting the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. This is what real detective work is in my mind. This is how cases get solved. And I love to see it.
Yeah.
So they ran the washing machine to see what that would do to the electricity. And it basically replicated exactly what they saw in the usage report. So Kimbrough was there when the washing machine was started because they knew from the surveillance video that he'd left at 2 a.m. But they didn't have a toxicology or DNA results yet. They did not have enough to make a case yet.
In the meantime, just 4 days after Molly's murder and the same day that Kimbrough was questioned, on Friday, April 14th, 2017, Megan Getram, 36, went for her usual after-work hike at the Arbor Hills Nature Preserve in Plano. Megan was a young woman who enjoyed yoga, and she loved her cats. At work, she really enjoyed helping people solve problems using her computer skills.
She enjoyed playing games with a group of friends who had been meeting for over 15 years to play games. I love this. I love that.
Yeah.
And she loved to travel, and her last big adventure took her through India, accompanied by her grandparents. And she just sounds like an incredible woman.
Yeah. She sounds like a woman after my own heart.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this has hints of Beth in it.
As she walked the trails, she texted her mom, Diane. Her family did not hear from her again, but nobody thought anything was wrong until Sunday, when Megan didn't show up to her brother Jeff's birthday party. Then on Monday, she didn't show up for work.
That's when her brother went to her apartment to check on her. The lights were on, there was a pile of probably clean laundry waiting to be folded, and it just looked like she stepped out for a minute and hadn't made it back yet. Her brother thought, well, she's just busy.
The next morning, Jeff woke up at 5 a.m. and drove back to his sister's apartment and found it to be in the exact same state as how he found it the night before. Her wallet and keys were on the kitchen counter, her laptop was there, and they found her car parked outside of her building.
Megan's family decided that they needed to call the police. When police looked at surveillance video from Friday night, they saw her walking towards the nature preserve at about 7 p.m. Everything looked fine, but Megan was never seen again.
The next morning, police learned that on April 15th, the body of an unidentified woman was found in Lake Ray Hubbard, which is over 20 miles away. It was Megan. Mm. Investigators were able to determine that Megan had been murdered.
So now let's get into the investigation and the arrest.
As luck would have it, it turned out that police had done a curfew check at the nature preserve the night that Megan went missing. They spoke to some teenagers who told them about a man who was acting suspicious.
They said the man was kind of circling around them in his car, a blue Buick Park Avenue, and he then got out and approached them, asking if they had seen a phone. He said he was at the park earlier in the day and had lost it.
He was described as a black male in his early 20s. Officers weren't too concerned about a man looking for a lost phone, but on their way out, they drove by a blue Buick Park Avenue.
They decided to run the tags, which came back to an older black male that didn't match the description of the suspicious person that was reported in the park. However, it did match the owner's son, Reginald Kimbrough. They made note of it and went on their way.
Going back over the information the officers collected on that Friday night, investigators soon learned that Kimbrough was also a person of interest in Molly's murder in Fort Worth.
With the news of another murder, detectives in Fort Worth realized that they had waited too long. They went ahead and issued a warrant for the murder of Molly. Kimbrough was taken into custody by the Plano SWAT team as he left his father's home and brought back to Fort Worth.
Authorities went public about an arrest due to some tension that the crime had caused around Texas Christian University. If you remember, Molly lived over by Texas Christian University and people were kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But Fort Worth police refused to release Kimbrough's identity so as to, quote, preserve the integrity of the ongoing investigation, unquote.
Okay. I mean, they had somebody in custody, so... You know, this is one of those where I would say, okay, let the authorities do you know, what they got to do. I mean, they're certainly doing more than most had done up to this point.
The other ones.
But on April 28th, Fort Worth police announced that 23-year-old Reginald Kimbrough had been arrested in relation to Molly's murder.
Kimbrough was connected to Molly's murder through DNA, cell phone records, electricity usage, and surveillance cameras. They actually found Kimbrough's DNA on the underwear in the washing machine and in the shower where they found Molly's body. They're getting so good at detecting DNA.
Yeah, they are. Oh, man. I just love it when DNA comes through.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
When the toxicology came back, it showed that Molly had the date rape drug GHB in her system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not something we'd seen in the other ones. Yet.
I think he had been using it in some of them. Yeah.
Okay. So police connected Kimbrough to Megan's murder using DNA, and the witnesses put him in the parking lot of the nature preserve at the time of her disappearance. DNA evidence showed Megan's body had been in the trunk of Kimbrough's Buick and that he had sexually assaulted her.
DNA also linked Kimbrough to the sexual assault of Melissa Winton in Plano in 2012, of Katie Coates in South Padre in 2014, the unnamed woman in Allen in 2014, and while he was being investigated for murder, a fourth victim in McKinney came forward.
Wow. More than a month before Molly and Megan were killed, Allen police received the DNA results from the rape kit in their 2014 case. The DNA matched Kimbrough, who was already the primary suspect, but nothing was done by that jurisdiction.
Yeah, and this was a month before the murders. Yeah,
imagine. Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. Talk about a fuck up.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a big fuck up for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All four women, the survivors, mm-hmm. were prepared to testify against Kimbrough at trial.
All right, so let's get into the trial, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so the trial of Reginald Kimbrough was over before it ever started because he agreed to plead guilty to the 2017 murders of Molly Matheson and Megan Gittrum, as well as four sexual assaults from 2012 and 2014, those of Melissa Winton, Katie Coates, the unnamed woman in Allen, and the unnamed woman in McKinney.
In addition to entering guilty pleas, Kimbrough waived all appeals. Kimbrough, who was 28 at the time, was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So he's gone forever. Good.
Yes, I don't see any problem with that. So Tarrant County District Attorney's Office prosecutor Elena Bangs said, quote, Reginald Kimbrough is a serial rapist and a serial killer. He used his personality and charm to attract women or drug them when that did not work. He talked his way out of case after case until his violence culminated in the deaths of Molly Matheson and Megan Gittrum, unquote. So now let's get into where are they now? Tell us, Beth.
Kimbrough, as we said, was sentenced to life in prison without parole, and he is currently serving his time at the Ellis Unit, a Texas Department of Criminal Justice prison located 12 miles north of Huntsville.
The survivors of sexual assault and trauma found solace in support groups. Mental health professionals offered counseling to those who were affected by the crimes. Also, community leaders organized town hall meetings to address concerns. Awareness campaigns focused on self-defense, safety precautions, and reporting procedures.
Memorials were held to honor the victims, Molly Matheson and Megan Gittrum. These gatherings allowed people to express grief, share memories, and find comfort in each other's presence.
The tragedy prompted discussions about safety measures. Residents advocated for better lighting, increased police patrols, and improved security in public spaces. Kimbrough's crimes also led to changes in two state laws related to both sexual assault survivors and data used to track potential serial rapists and murderers, which... these are good things. I just wish bad things didn't have to happen
for these things to come about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Molly Jane's Law, named after Molly Jane Matheson and spearheaded by her parents' nonprofit organization, Project Beloved, became law in the state of Texas on September 1st, 2019. Molly Jane's Law states that when law enforcement in Texas investigates a case of sexual assault, they have to use VICAP, or the Violent Criminal Apprehension Program, to input information about the reported offender and the details of the offense.
Oh, that's really interesting. That seems like an improvement.
It seems like they should have been doing that, but I'm glad they made it a law.
Yeah. Okay. So Molly's father, David Matheson, said, quote, "It doesn't change anything, doesn't take away the hurt, but we're glad this day is here. Tomorrow the sun is going to come up, and we're going to be thinking about Molly, and we'll think about these girls," unquote. So that's it for the details of the case. Now we're going to talk about our thoughts. What do you think about this case, Beth?
Well, it's really sad, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about this offender, and it seems like, in my opinion, he's more like Ted Bundy than a lot of the serial killers that we cover.
I can see that because of the charm.
Yeah, he's described as gregarious and charming, and that he seemed like a nice guy. Mm-hmm. In other words, a wolf in sheep's clothing, which is kind of what Ted Bundy was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as strategic as Bundy, but he was somewhat calculating.
Right.
He did take advantage of situations where Bundy may have too. I mean, later on, I was going to say later on in his career.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, don't say that.
Later on, he started to lose control and he started just doing
getting
things,
sloppy.
But yeah, getting real sloppy. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, he was super calculating.
Uh-huh.
And so Kimbrough was able to talk his way out of some of his crimes, like the rapes.
Yeah.
And also, there was that polygraph test that he took and he passed.
Right.
And that indicates to me that he might be a psychopath.
Whoa.
Because psychopaths are often able to pass polygraphs because they don't get nervous like we do.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. She does it again.
Another one.
You always come with these OG true crime like
I just read it somewhere.
And I am blown away because I was like, I was really scratching my head like
how did he do that? Well, number one, they're not accurate. And that's why they're not allowed in courts evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can take a polygraph and fail it even though you're innocent.
Right.
And you can pass it even though
you're guilty.
Yeah. Oof. So, yeah, I read somewhere that psychopaths can often pass them easily because they just don't get nervous. What a polygraph is doing is testing your
reactions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thank you, Beth. I love your ideas. Welcome. I love your thoughts. I love your brain. Love your brain.
But, this case was really frustrating.
Yeah.
If the police hadn't been such a good old boys club.
Yeah.
In 2012 and 2014.
He
might have been caught after Melissa Winton's attack.
Yeah.
And it disgusts me and makes me so angry.
Yeah.
How the cops behaved towards her and the Allen victim, how they treated them like they were
like it was their
perpetrators.
Fault. Yeah. Like they had done something wrong.
Yeah. Or they were lying. Mm-hmm. And so they were trying to get this guy or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you. I wish we knew more about his early life.
Yeah.
It did. Now that I say that, the car that they found him in was registered to his dad.
Dad.
So his dad wasn't incarcerated the entire time of his childhood. His dad did eventually come home and was in his life.
Years. Yeah. He served 10 years when he was when he was a baby. So he may have been in his life when he was like 10, 11.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he may have been in and out of his life.
Maybe. But, you know, growing up around people who are institutionalized, I can't quite put my finger on what that might do. But
it's going to fuck you up.
I don't know if it's a wonderful thing.
No,
what I will say. And so I just had that thought. And he said to, you know, be charming. And I found it interesting because he didn't come off as scary or as like a he didn't come off as he didn't give danger predator vibes.
Yeah.
And his crimes clearly escalated from SA on to murder. And that initial one,
Melissa.
Yes. Came about essentially after she rejected him, right?
Yeah.
She said, "I do not consent to this," essentially.
Yeah. She
and
was like, "No, thank you."
Yes.
Yeah.
And it set him off. And once he was set off, what he was capable of doing to another person was just like horrifying.
Insane.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about how rape is like, it tends to be a crime about power, right? It's not really about sex. It's about power.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what inside of him made him feel like he needed to have dominion over another person's body and eventually life, their life.
Yeah. I mean, when he killed Megan, too, was after he had been questioned by the police and it pissed him off. And then he went and killed her the same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. She puts it all together for me so nicely. I'm over here rambling like, and then Beth comes in with a bow.
Very well.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And it's always been so interesting to me how we come on this show every week and the failures of the criminal legal system are just so massive.
Yeah.
Years for DNA results to come in? Years?
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, it's just weird because sometimes someone with no evidence against them can get detained or jailed or incarcerated for way less.
Yeah. We've covered so many of those cases where men have been convicted.
Wrongfully convicted.
Yeah. And they didn't do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And DNA is so definitive at identifying and ruling out. That's what it's great for.
Yeah.
And I just wish that more was done to utilize it as an investigative tool. I mean,
yeah, it's just
do
insane.
We need more police bodies, more police guns, or do we need more DNA lab technicians? Hello? Yeah, to keep communities safer, I think. And I also think that, you know, the sex crime investigators, they really, really fucked up here.
Yeah, terrible.
And, you know, I don't believe I'm the only person thinking this, but they have blood on their hands.
Yeah.
Don't you think? They get an F-
for sure.
For their jobs at the very least.
An F minus minus.
Yeah, for suggest for yeah. And, you know, just imagine if they had done the work. And the women who came forward initially to report and who were not believed, I am so sorry that that happened to you, to go through the assault and then look for help and just simply not get it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. So let us know what you think about this case. Beth, where can the people find us?
Our website is fruitloopspod.com, and we use Fruit Loops Pod for all of our social media.
This is a weekly podcast, and new episodes drop every Thursday. So until next time, look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
Detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.